This morning, as I was driving into the church, I had this thought, and it was, have you ever been asked the question, like, to give a bit of a description of who you are? Who are you? And I started thinking about that for myself, and I thought, oftentimes when somebody asks me, who are you, I'm going to give them kind of very short, very to the point, bullet points, this is who Lizzie is. And I don't know about you, but typically I'm leaving out the bad stuff. Right? Now, it's different than when you're asked to write like an about you, a bio. Then I always give it to Tyler. Can you please say nice things about me? But that's not what I'm talking about. This is like the short, sweet, who are you? And as I was thinking about it for myself, I thought, okay, well, my name's Lizzie. I love Jesus with all my heart. I have a wonderful husband who loves the Lord. I'm a pastor. I'm a leader. I have four beautiful, amazing, miraculous children. That's who I am. Those are the good points. But like I said, I often leave out the hard stuff or maybe the not so pretty side. And the reality is for me, one of the things that is a big part of my story of who I've been and who I continue to be is that there have been moments in my life where I have struggled. And sometimes that struggle has been moments of feeling depressed. I am Lizzie, and I struggle with depression from time to time. I have so much to be thankful for in my life. Like I said, a husband, my faith, my kids. And yet there have been many seasons in my life where this has been part of my struggle, a struggle of deep feelings of depression, of mourning, of grief. There was just this struggle. And no matter how hard I tried to will myself out of it, right, saying, hey, you know what, Lizzie, tomorrow morning when you wake up, don't be depressed. Guess how often that worked? Not very often. I couldn't will my way out of it. And so I had to learn, how do I be okay with struggling sometimes with feeling depressed as a faith-filled person? I struggled with what others would think. How can she lead? How can she lead us if she's struggling with moments of depression? How can she be a pastor? How can she set an example if people knew actually how messed up I am? How often I struggle with these feelings. And then I wrestled through even the stigma of wrestling with depression. The stigma of going and asking for help, of being honest and saying, hey, this is part of my story. This is part of my struggle right now. There's a stigma oftentimes in churches and in faith circles of going to a counselor, of going and seeking help, being honest with others about how you really are. That goes beyond the just Sunday morning, hey, how are you? I'm great. Really? Sometimes you might be great, but sometimes you might be down in the depths of struggle. And is it okay for us to peel back those layers and say, hey, this is also who I am today. This is part of where I'm at in this moment. And it was through reading the Word of God, particularly the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations, where I found so much hope and healing in my struggle. It was through reading the stories of Jeremiah, this prophet of God, where I felt very seen and very known. Here's a guy who gets it, who understands this struggle, who prayed prayers of lament, who laid bare his frustrations before the Lord and maintained his faith through it all. He just continued to pour out his emotions before God. And I learned from this prophet, the prophet Jeremiah, in the Word of God, that it is okay to sometimes not be okay. It's okay to struggle. Jeremiah lived out this tension between faith and lament, faith and struggle. And it brought me, and it continues to bring me so much hope that it is okay for me to say, hey, I'm struggling and I'm still His. Have you ever wrestled with the tension between faith and lament? Faith and struggle. Faith and emotional struggle, mental struggles. I want you to know, firstly, you are not alone in the struggle. And if you've not personally wrestled with this, I guarantee you that you have a family member, a friend, someone in this room who has or is struggling. So the first thing we get to do this morning is remove the stigma, to understand and to believe and to say that it is okay to not always be okay. It does not make you a bad Christian when you are feeling down. And secondly, the struggle of feeling depressed, of having deep emotions, of having confusion or even questions. This is not a new struggle. This is not just a 21st century problem. This has been a struggle from the very beginning. We see it all through the Bible. Stories of men and women who went through deep struggles, who had their moments of despair in the midst of faith. We've studied some of their stories, from David to Elijah, and this morning even Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, a man who felt deeply, a man who lamented the issues and the situations that were facing him and his friends and his family, his community. A man who was deeply moved and impacted by everything that was going on around him. Jeremiah was a man who lived with long seasons of feeling depressed, and yet he maintained his faith throughout. Jeremiah knew the truth that even though he was struggling, he was God's. He lived in that tension of faith and lament. Jeremiah was a prophet to God's people, and he was prophesying before and during the exile. Exile was the consequence of God's people not repenting, not turning back to him. God had given them time and time, chance after chance, prophet after prophet, saying, if you would just turn back, if you would turn away from idolatry and return to me, things would go well. But if you choose to do things in your own way, if you choose to continue in this idolatrous lifestyle, there will be consequences. Consequence of exile. The people didn't want to turn back. They didn't want to repent. Last week, Pastor Tyler shared from the book of Isaiah, and in chapter 30, verse 15, this was the key verse last week. It says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And it was like over and over again, God was giving his people opportunities to turn back, to repent. It wasn't a once-off, hey, do this. Oh, you missed the boat. This was years and years of calling his people back, of drawing them back to him. But see, at the end of verse 15, after he says, repent. Repentance and rest is your salvation. He says, but you would have none of it. You would have none of it. Jeremiah told the people for years to turn back to God, but they refused to listen. In fact, they told him they didn't want to hear what God had to say. They were tired of hearing, repent, repent. They're like, could you just tell us something good? In fact, these guys over here are telling us that it's all going to be okay. We like what they have to say. We don't want to hear what you have to say. They fought against the word of the Lord, and they fought hard against the prophet who spoke God's word and his truth. Jeremiah, over the course of his life and his ministry, he was beaten. He was arrested. He was thrown in a pit. He was stoned. At the end of his, it shouldn't have been the end of his life, but it turned out to be toward the end of his life. His own people dragged him away bound to Egypt. And he died in Egypt, most likely by his own people, because they were angry because of his message, the message of God. Jeremiah literally spoke truth. And then he watched as his people, his friends, his own family turned against him. His community, he watched them all turn their backs on God. And he watched as the people fell. He watched as they were dragged off into Babylonian exile. He watched as his city, the city of God, was decimated, brought into a state of ruin. And through his struggle, he writes out prayers. He writes out laments, which is what we find in the book of Jeremiah, and lamentations. And it is his heart poured out to God. He cries out to God about the situation that he's actively living through. He's watching it unfold right before his eyes, and he is crying out to God. He pleads for the people. He's like, God, do you see what's happening? He watches the destruction, and he watches it and knows it is because of their rebellion. It is because of their refusal to repent. There are times that Jeremiah expresses anger at the situation. He expresses sorrow. He expresses grief, depressed thoughts, emotions, attitudes, actions. This was him processing the situation that was happening. And I believe that there is such a beauty to it. To one of the hardest times of Israel's history, I believe that we see glimpses of beauty through the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, because what we get to see is this man of God who just lays it all out before his Father, who says, this situation is hard. It is more than any of us can bear. And he pours out his heart. He expresses his emotions. He pours out his struggles through prayer to his God. What Jeremiah does is he uses prayer as a way to voice his confusion, to be honest, to just get it out. He doesn't allow evil to get the final word. He doesn't allow Satan to keep him bound in those deep emotions, in that struggle, locked up inside with all of these big things that he can't deal with on his own. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about Jeremiah, is that he shows us the power and the freedom that can come when we don't keep it inside, but we let it out. Our God is big enough to handle it. The enemy wants to keep us locked up. The enemy wants us to keep us with our sorrows, with our struggles, with our fears, our big emotions, like under lock and key in our heart. That's what the enemy wants. God wants to set us free. And so Jeremiah pours these struggles out to God. Jeremiah knows this truth. I'm struggling, and yet I'm still his. So I will pour it out, and I will pour it out again and again and again, because my God is here and he listens and he is not leaving me just because I'm struggling. God invites him to pour it all out. What we as Christians, as people of faith, need to remember is that lament, prayer, these are crucial aspects to our walks of faith in a broken world. doesn't take long, reading the news, watching the news, walking out in our world, to recognize that we live in a broken world. What the enemy wants is for us to curl up in a ball and to hide away and to say, it is all too much. I can't handle it. I'm just going to stay here and hide. God wants us to say, yes, the world is broken. Yes, this is hard. But here I am, God, and I am going to speak your truth. I am going to speak your word. I am going to live life. I'm going to pour it out to you. Because you are a faithful God. It is in Jeremiah's lament that hope is found. One of the passages of scripture that became like a lifeline for me during some of my deepest struggles with feeling depressed is found in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Now in chapter 3, in the chapters leading up to this passage of scripture, Jeremiah is again just pouring it out. He's saying, look at what's happening, God. Like, God didn't know, but he's getting it out, right? He's sharing it. He is lamenting. He's like, your people are being carried off into exile. They are dying. They are starving. The city is in ruins. How long, God, is this going to happen? How long until you intervene on our behalf? And yet, in the midst of this, of his lament, of pouring it out to God, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, he says this, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. In the midst of our struggle, in the midst of Jeremiah's struggle, he says, yet I dare to hope. I dare to hope. Those words have gotten me through some of the darkest times. I dare to hope because my God is faithful. After all that Jeremiah has been through, all that he has seen, he retains faith and hope. Why? Because he knows that even in the struggle, he is still God's. The Lord is my inheritance, Jeremiah says. Therefore, I will hope in him. He knows that the situation facing him, the situation that he is literally immersed in, that is not the end of the story. He knows the Lord is my inheritance. And we as people of faith, as followers of Jesus, know that what we see in the here and now, what we see on the news, what we hear, that is not the end. Our God is on the throne and he has the final say. The Lord is my inheritance. One day, because I trust in him, because he is faithful, because Jesus Christ came to earth and defeated sin and death and all mental illness and all emotional struggles, one day I will be with him where there is no sorrow. There is no suffering. There are no tears. There is no destruction. I will be free because of Christ in me. That is our inheritance. And the prophet Jeremiah knew, my inheritance is in God. Therefore, I hope. Jeremiah dares to hope, not because of his situation, not because things get better. In fact, the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations, they don't end in this happy way, you know, all nicely tied up with a pretty bow on top where everything worked out the way that everybody had kind of hoped it would. It ended with destruction. It ends with exile. It ends kind of open-ended of what is going to happen next. Isn't that kind of like our struggles? In the here and now, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know. Like I said, I couldn't will myself out from those depressed feelings. Tomorrow comes. We don't know what it brings, but we do know who holds tomorrow, and that is our Savior and our King, Jesus. We have an inheritance. We can dare to hope, just like the prophet Jeremiah did. You can dare to hope because God is faithful. It is okay to struggle. In fact, if you came here today or you are watching today and you are struggling, I want you to know this. It is okay to struggle. We need to remember this truth. I may be struggling, but I am still His. I want you to look at this. It's up on the screen. I'm struggling, and I'm still His. And I just want you to quietly read it to yourself a couple of times. Take it to heart. I'm struggling, and I'm still His. I want us to say it together, because I think we sometimes need to vocalize what God wants to speak to us. So would you say this with me? I'm struggling, and I'm still His. Your struggle does not make you a bad Christian. It just makes you real. We all struggle. We all have moments where we are down. We all have moments of despair. We have times when we've been in a grief cycle and we just can't find our way out. We struggle. That's okay. But there are things that we can do as people of faith, to help us as we journey through the struggle to come through, to retain our faith and hope. And this morning, I'm going to share with you some different things. First, we're going to go through biblical principles. We're going to look at what the Word of God teaches us and shows us about this struggle and this tension between faith and lament, faith and struggle. We're going to come to the Word of God because here's the thing, the Word of God is life. And what the enemy wants to do to keep us down and bound and dead, Jesus wants to speak life from His Word to us. So we're going to look at biblical faith principles for how we come through struggle in faith. We are also going to look at getting outside resources and help for when we need to access those things. Because there are times when we need what the Word of God says, and we also need help from outside sources. So we're going to look at both this morning, starting with our biblical principles. Faith does not erase the struggle, but it holds you through it. I want to say that again. Faith does not erase the struggle, but faith is what holds you through the struggle. Your faith in God is what holds you through those moments of despair. Dare to hope in His faithfulness. We read that in the Word of God, in Lamentations, dare to hope. I will dare to hope because my God is faithful. I will dare to hope because His mercies are new every morning. I will dare to hope because great is His faithfulness. When we read the Word of God, and this is the first thing that if you are in the midst of a struggle, you need to do. Read the Word of God. When we do, His Word is life. And it speaks life to the parts of us that are dead. And let me tell you, it is counterintuitive. It's probably the last thing that you want to do, to read the Word of God when you are in a deep, deep struggle. I've shared that with you before. In the midst of my deepest struggle, I didn't want to open the Bible because I didn't want to receive comfort. I just wanted to sit curled up in that ball saying, it's too much. I can't handle it. I don't want to come out. I want to encourage you today that there is life in the Word of God. And when we open it, when I opened it on that day, when my mom called and said, Lizzie, are you reading your Bible? when I opened it, there was an immediate peace that fell on me. Because God's word is life. We do not read this, we cannot read this and remain unchanged. God's word speaks life to us. So when you are in the midst of a struggle, open his word and allow him to speak to you. Allow his grace and his presence and his love to wash over you. Read the Bible. Pray. What we see through Jeremiah and through Lamentations is a man who struggled. And in his struggle, in the midst of his struggle, he prayed again and again and again. And sometimes his prayers were just, why, God? How long, God? Look at what's happening, God. They were just prayers of, this is hard. But there were also prayers of, great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. God invites us to speak to him. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me. That is the invitation of our Savior. He wants us to come and to pour out our hearts before him. To pray. Your prayers don't have to be these perfectly packaged prayers. They can just be, God, that's all I got today. Pour out your heart to God. He invites you to that. And worship. There is something so profound about worshiping. I just think the enemy doesn't like it. He doesn't like it when we worship. He doesn't like it when we sing praises to God. It doesn't matter if you are the best singer or the worst singer. Who cares? To Satan, he hates it all. Sing praises to God in the midst of the struggle. Sing the songs, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Even now. Even in my struggle. Sing praises to God and shut the enemy up. Worship him. Read the Bible. Pray. Worship. Because God is faithful. And he does not ask us to walk the struggle alone. God invites us in. And there are times where we need to get help. That is from the outside. We need to trust that God has given wisdom and direction and skills to medical professionals. There are times when I have struggled with feeling depressed that I needed to go and seek help from outside sources. I needed to go and get counseling, and it was some of the best decisions that I have ever made. To go and to say, hey, I'm really struggling. I'm struggling to get out of bed. I need help. I need someone to walk alongside me. I need someone who can pull these things out of me, who can help me to just with practical steps forward. Do not be afraid or ashamed to go to your doctor, to go to a counselor, a psychologist, and say, hey, I'm struggling and this is beyond me. I am a person of faith. And I am struggling, and I need help. There is no shame in that. I think sometimes there's this stigma or this idea that seeing a counselor somehow makes you a weak or a lesser than Christian. Seeking help somehow means that you don't have it all together. Guys, you are not meant to have it all together. And God has gifted individuals to help us in the struggle. I see a counselor regularly. It's kind of funny because sometimes at first I thought, well, I'm only going to see a counselor when I'm messed up. Well, guess what? Even on my good days, I can see a counselor and it's good. And I'm usually messed up, so it's even better. Pastor Tyler regularly sees a counselor. Because there are things that these people, these individuals can help us with. In the journey, do not be afraid to ask for help. from a professional. And then surround yourself with community. Go out, not in. Do not close the blinds in your life. I just had this picture of when you're in your house and you close the blinds and it's all dark. Do not do that in your own life through your struggle. Do not close the blinds of your heart. Open your heart. Because the enemy wants you to isolate, but God created you for community. He created us for community. And in the midst of one of my struggles, I had a friend who came to me, and she was encouraging me to go and into these social settings with other friends. And I just said to her, man, I am messed up. I am tired of being the friend that goes out for dinner and I'm just like crying and I'm a basket case. Like, it's no fun. This is not fun, Lizzie. And I'm like, I think I'm just going to stop going and just be at home. And she looked at me and she said, Lizzie, you were made for community, not for isolation. You need to go and be with your friends. And this is what she said, and I will never forget it. She said, just go messed up. I'm like, huh, I could do that. Like I said, I'm messed up pretty much all the time. Go messed up. Be in community and trust your friends to carry you through those seasons when it's hard. We do not have to be perfect. There are no perfect people here. There are no perfect Christians here. We all struggle. Go be in community. Church, we get to be part of that community for each other. We get to remind each other, hey, even if you're struggling, you are still His. We get to be the community that looks across the room and finds the person who's struggling, who sees the person during coffee time that's in the corner that's just looking down, who sees the person who's not here because they're struggling. They're in a season of struggle. We get to be the community that goes and steps into that and says, I see you. You are not alone in this struggle, and I'm going to walk with you. Will it be messy? Probably. Messy people create messes. But we get to be a part of that community that walks alongside, that sits in the ashes, that carries if we need, and says, come on, we're in this together. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That is His job, to seek and save the lost, to bring them to a place of salvation. But friends, we have a role to play in that, that we get to seek along with Jesus those who are lost, those who are struggling, those who are deep in their despair, those who are down and depressed. As a community of faith, we get to look and to see, to step in and to bring out, to be a community that cares. We get to be part of erasing the stigma, to love unconditionally, to love through the mess. I am so thankful for my friends and my church family who saw me at my worst and who said, Lizzie, this is not the end. We've got you. Come on out. Worship team, would you come? You know, what's interesting about Jeremiah, and that's so tragic, is that Jeremiah didn't have the community. He didn't have the community that stepped in with him, that supported him, that surrounded him, that walked with him. And I often wonder, what would have his life been like if he had just one person who came and said, hey, Jeremiah, you are not alone. Let's walk through this struggle together. We get to bring people through. And today, even right now, I just want you to think for a moment, whether it's you, if you're the one that's struggling, then today I'm going to encourage you to step out. I'm going to encourage you to step out, whether it's here, and actually I'm going to encourage you to do it this morning. Because as soon as we leave, the enemy, man, he gets in there and he's like, ah, she was crazy. Don't listen to what she had to say, right? So to step out today, to find someone, a trusted person, and to say, hey, I'm struggling. I know I'm still his, but I'm struggling. And would you trust someone else to come alongside you, to walk with you in your struggle, to help you to come through? But if you're not in a season of struggle right now, I want you to pray and to discern, to ask the Holy Spirit to show you someone in your life who is. Could be someone in this room this morning. It could be one of your friends, a family member, but someone who is struggling. And would you ask the Holy Spirit to show you how you can come alongside them? Do they need right now in this season for you to just sit with them in the dust? Then just sit with them. Do they need to be pulled out from that state of isolation? Do they need you to come over and to open the blinds, to say, hey, we're not sitting in darkness anymore. Come to Jesus. I just thought about that story in the New Testament where there was a paralyzed man and Jesus was healing people, and the paralyzed man, he couldn't get to Jesus because he couldn't walk. And so he had friends who came to him, saw his need, and said, hey, you're not sitting here anymore. We're going to carry you to the one who can heal. Sometimes we need to be those friends who pick up the person who can't get there on their own right now. And we need to carry them to Jesus. So would you pray today and ask God to show you who it is that you can come alongside in community, bring them to Jesus. We as a church, every day, through every season, through every situation, can say, today, I dare to hope because great is the faithfulness of my God. Even if I'm struggling, I'm still his. His mercies are new each and every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As we worship and sing this last song, continue to pray, ask the Lord to show you how you can step in. And if you need prayer this morning, even during this time of worship, I'll be at the front. We'll have some people from our prayer team as well available for you. And I just want you to know, you do not walk the struggle alone. Let's pray together. Let's worship.